Hi there, this is Tara Hayslip, and you are listening to Confident You Radio and the Casa de Confidence podcast with Julie DeLuca Collins.
Welcome to Casa de Confidence, a podcast for you. You'll hear some incredible women
and some awesome cool dudes
going confidently in the direction of their dreams and living in the purpose of their heart.
You're our host,
Julie DeLuca Collins, and you are our sidekick, hashtag handsome hot husband.
That again.
And the producer of the show.
That I am.
I am an author, speaker, coach, dreamer, and most of all,
we help people go in the direction of their dreams
and support them on their purpose. So pull up a chair,
grab a drink,
and make yourself at home, because our casa
is your casa. Welcome back to another episode of Casa de Confidence. This is Dan, and I have the amazing Julie over here.
What makes me amazing today, Daniel Collins?
Because you are just amazing. And I'm looking at the newsletter for our next episode. And the first thing it says is, hey there, my amazing community. It's from you. You wrote it. And who else would have an amazing community around her than an amazing person?
Well, you know who has an amazing husband?
You do.
Yes.
I know.
Because we're amazing all around.
That's funny. Anyhow. How are you doing?
I am delightful. I went for a manicure and pedicure yesterday.
Oh, yes, you did. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't even look at your nails.
Look at them.
Yeah. Oh, they're red.
I know.
Go with what you know, I guess, right?
Listen, it was a whole big brouhaha at the salon because... Yeah, because I said, hey, I would like some red for the color. And mm-hmm. She said, but you're wearing red. And I said, yes, I would like another red. It's Valentine's Day coming up.
Oh, it's a different color red?
Actually, so that's what I'm trying to tell you. So then she had like three color reds that she brought over to me. And I'm like, that's a little more orange or tomato red. Mm. I'd like to go with a deeper red. Huh. And she's like, we don't have that. I'm like, these are the only reds I have. I'm like, well, I don't like those. And I don't want to look at my nails for 2 weeks
so with
those
you do? Colors.
I said, well, what other colors do you have? And I'm like, what about this one? And she's like, that's what you're wearing now. And I'm like, well, perfect. I guess I'm going to have to wear that again. Anyway, it is what it is. What can I tell you?
Well, you know what? I hope your amazing community loves the talk of your...
My nail self-care. You know, it, not to say that self-care is selfish, but
it is not.
I really enjoyed because I did not go to get my nails done by myself, by the way. I went with Arlene.
Yes, mm-hmm. She did. That's, you know, that's spending
friend
time
of the show. Too. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah, and we're going to be spending more time together because we have plans for next Saturday.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Oh, very nice.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're going to have a girls' outing mm-hmm. with other girlfriends. So,
really? Where are you going?
I can't say.
Do I know about this already?
No. I'm just telling you now in the air so you can't complain about it later. Okay. Or
I'm
you
not
can't
complain about
okay.
it.
Or you
I get
can't
some
say,
me time. I'm or, fine.
Or you can't say that I did not tell you about this.
Well, you kind of told me about it.
Yeah.
A little bit, but you really didn't.
I really didn't.
You didn't tell me where you're going. So anyway,
I guess it'll be a mystery. I didn't tell you where we're going.
Yeah.
It's a mystery. On other news.
Yes.
Going back to Florida.
Oh, that's right. You are. Mm-hmm. Honey, I'm not going to be able to go with you this time.
Okay.
We have too much.
Too much to what? Do. Too many things.
I was going to say too much work to do, but you know what? It's not too much work. It's just I have sufficient work to keep me busy, and I think I'm going to be working some weekends.
I'm sorry.
Anyhow,
I hate that you're working so overtime.
I wanted to spend some time with Pearl and her husband.
But look at you.
I don't
you.
Think it's in the cards.
It's not in the cards.
Yeah.
Well, you know, maybe we can do something for our anniversary.
Oh, we could. Oh, that's coming up in March.
Yeah. By the way, first is Valentine's Day. I don't want to disappoint you.
Valentine's Day. Yes.
Valentine's Day is in two weeks, Daniel.
2 weeks. Oh, yeah. I better get my biscuits in gear.
Your biscuits? What does that mean?
I was going to say ass, but I figure. Oh, there. I said it.
Oh, there you go. You said it. I hope it's not. I can't even say the word.
What?
Objectionable.
Objectionable. Hey, Julie.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Who's our guest this week?
Listen, our guest is an incredible woman who I am an incredible admirer of. She's doing some awesome work online, and her name is Tara. We really had a great conversation when it came to discussing mindfulness and avoiding burnout, which, by the way, for someone like me, it could be very easy to do.
Yeah.
It, not avoid burnout, but actually get burnt out. Because I like to be busy. And sometimes that's not a badge of honor. Do you think busy is a badge of honor?
Busy, it can be a badge of honor. But you know what? We did a little, what is that called? When you change directions, we did a little swerve this week where we were getting super busy. I got busy at work. I have a big thing going on there. Plus, oh my Lord, I have so many new wonderful podcasts to edit. It's so cool. So we promised a bonus episode last Friday, but we had to make a decision to go with our customers.
I totally forgot about that bonus episode.
Well, I guess I made the decision alone.
You made the decision alone. Oh boy, as the master of the universe here at Casa de Collins.
We're going to talk about PodFest.
We can still talk about PodFest.
We don't
have to do it today.
We have some amazing new podcasts coming out on audio and on video. And
that's
we have some amazing new people. Actually, one is coming over to use this as for our editing services.
Mm-hmm.
One launching next week.
We have a big launch of one of our clients, Cash and Sass.
Cash and Sass.
And we also have the incredible Julia Toothaker, friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
She is launching another season of her podcast.
Yeah, and we have another customer who is, checking out my editing skills.
Your proudness in editing. Lord have mercy.
Well, let her know who it is, Julie.
Well, his name is Trace Hobson. I had to think about that.
Wow, what happened? The dog started staring at you. You lost your words.
Okay, Trace has a podcast.
Trace Hobson. It's
called Save Space Made Simple.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks a lot about psychological safety, neurobiological safety, presence, presence.
Maybe you need some brain processes.
Based leadership and management and coaching and healthcare.
Yes, and he's from Canada.
He is from Canada. He is from Western Canada, which I love. Can't wait.
A place I've never been is Western Canada.
And I love it there. Can we move there? What?
If we're moving anywhere, it's going to be warmer, not the same.
Hmm. Well, speaking to the Passionistas, friend of the show, the incredible Amy and Nancy Harrington, they launched their community this week and the Passionistas community. So I interviewed them in a podcast takeover on their show.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I asked and they actually shared with me is that they would like to buy a house in Italy. And I said,
Italia.
Me too. So now we're thinking we're going to buy a compound together because I think there's a lot of people who'd want to move to Italy with us, Daniel.
The only compound I'm buying is a W.
Wow.
Compound W.
Amazing.
What is compound W?
Mm-hmm. It's like a thing you spray. Wait a minute.
That's for hemorrhoids.
Compound. No, what is? Oh, that's WD-40.
WD-40.
Oh, God.
Wow. I'm going hemorrhoids. You're going lubrication for engine parts.
Well, you know what?
Compound W. That was for canker sores, I think.
Really? That's a big difference.
Or canker is it warts?
You better tell people what it really is, because if people are using it in the wrong end, it's a problem.
It's for plantar warts.
Oh, well, there you go.
On your feet.
Don't put it in your other end or your mouth. It goes in your feet.
Don't put it in your behind. And don't put it in your mouth.
Wow. This show is going off the rails.
It's probably salicylic acid and stuff like that.
This thing is going off the rails today. Yes. Between the compound over. Oh, but I was going to tell you.
I know. It is Sunday. It is late Sunday. You know, appear behind the curtain. It's late Sunday. It's dark out.
Dan. I watched a video the other day on how to clean your headlights using Compound W? No, what is the other thing?
WD-40. I know.
Yeah. I watched it. I don't know. You must be rubbing off on me that I'm watching car part videos.
That's very good. Very good. Mm. I love it that you're watching car YouTubes.
Wow. Crazy.
That's funny. It must have popped up because I actually found... The other day, I was like, ooh, I watched a couple of videos on Julie's account, and I went in.
I'm seeing these crazy videos. No,
I went in and deleted the history. Once you delete the history.
Don't delete my history.
I deleted my history.
Oh.
My history. Just the videos I watch. That way it wouldn't mess with what it feeds you.
Yeah. You know what? When Dan and I were dating... I gave him my access to Netflix. This is 100 million years ago.
Boom, boom, boom.
And the first time I logged in, after he logged in, all my algorithm had changed. The next thing you know, I had war movies, superhero movies,
bloody movies. I got to tell you something about when Julie gave me access to her Netflix account. It was in the early days of the streaming part. It was actually kind of painful in the beginning because remember it used to lag and it was really slow sometimes.
I don't remember that at all.
But I'm pretty sure Julie still has 3 DVDs someplace from Netflix
that she never
returned.
I do not.
Yeah.
No, no.
You didn't have to return. They never asked for the last 3 back you had out. Back when Netflix was a DVD lending service. Yeah,
but I return them. I return them. I know.
Did you return them?
Yeah. I don't have any.
I don't think they want them back, even if you got them.
Really? Well, I would send them back, just like I would return a library book if I was overdoing a library book.
Remember back in the day?
Yes.
When the video rental places charge you late fees?
Oh my God. Blockbuster made a lot of money for me.
Oh, it wasn't just, there was this place when I lived in Miami.
Blockbuster?
No, there was this video store down there. You know, video stores, not like Blockbusters that have that beaded curtain room in the back that you could go in when you were.
No, I never went there.
I never went in the beaded curtain room. But anyway, what I'm saying is, unbeknownst to me, a video was not returned in my household in a previous life.
Not me.
Yeah. In 1992.
We weren't married then.
Yeah. But in 1992, 93, $95. It's a good bunch of money now.
What?
But back then, $95 was a lot of late fees. And yeah, I was not a happy man.
No, I would not. That's hence you were not happy back then in that relationship. And you're with me.
I never said anything about a relationship.
Well, what were you doing? What were you doing? Just leaving fill in the context clues?
Anyway, no.
Okay.
That was just one thing.
You know, one of the things that Tara, our guest, and I spoke about is the difference between masculine and feminine energy.
And like the difference between O's and A's?
I don't know what that means.
Spanish.
Listen.
It's the way you end the words. Oh,
well, nobody knew what you were talking about.
Bella.
Listen, you want to know what are Bella some of the traits?
Whatever.
You want to know what some of the traits of masculine energy are?
Masculine energy?
Logical, focus, strong, stable, clear, assertive, goal-driven,
and confident.
We're talking about like positive traits of masculine energy.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So again, you want me to repeat them?
Yes.
Logical, focused, strong, stable, clear, assertive, goal-driven, and confident.
Got it.
Want to know what the feminine energy is?
The exact opposite of what you just said?
No.
Don't cancel me. I'm joking.
Really? I'm going to hurt you. Okay.
Feminine. I would think caring.
Well, let me go through.
I want to guess that that's one of them.
Sure. Caring is one of them.
Caring. what's that other one? Nurturing.
Sure. That's another one.
Yes. Good. I could be a woman. I'm not going to be, but go ahead.
Okay. Intuitive.
Oh, I knew that one.
Generous. Nurturing. Creative. Collaborative. Caring. Receptive. And grateful.
What was that third one?
Nurturing.
No. The third one.
Intuitive. Generous.
Stop. Remember the generous one next time you're divvying up portions for dinner.
Seriously? I make equal parts.
I see you look at the one you display that plate. You take the one that looks better. Hey. I'm not saying the one that has more, but the one that looks tastier.
Okay, wait a minute. I have to tell you something that happened today, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Remember how you asked me, do we have eggs for breakfast? And
yes.
And I said, yes, we have eggs.
Yeah.
And I cooked breakfast. There tasty. Were only two eggs.
Oh, yeah?
You
multiplied those eggs.
I multiplied because I put a lot of spinach and I put a lot of tomatoes. You
multiplied the eggs. You know what that makes you?
What?
Your own personal Jesus. Don't take offense. It's a song.
Oh, my God.
What's that song? Who's that by? That's by R.E.M. It's by R.E.M., isn't it?
I don't know. I'm back to feminine and masculine energy. I want to bring a point and you're changing the subject.
Sorry
on me.
For blaspheming people. Just
now he's looking it up.
Depeche Mode.
Okay.
I used to have a friend I used to work with. He was Polish, from Poland, and he loved Depeche Mode.
Hey,
and
most Polish are from Poland.
just because you're Polish doesn't mean you're from Poland.
Okay.
I'm English, part Irish, but was I from there? I'm just saying his lineage,
okay.
But he actually came, so he had an accent.
He came from Poland?
He came from Poland. He actually had an accent, and he loved Depeche Mode. So he used to always go, oh, Depeche Mode, they're the coolest. And it was, I'm not good. I don't have a Polish accent, but he was like, they're the coolest. You sound like
Arnold Schwarzenegger right now. I did kind of
sound like Arnold right there.
Okay, it's not, back to masculine and feminine energy. I'm trying to make a point here.
All right, make your point.
First of all, I think there is an intersection between both energies.
I think our
prosperity on purpose is the intersection.
You think our energies are very different?
I think our energies are different because I am confident, I'm focused, I'm assertive, I'm goal-driven. That's very masculine energy.
I'm caring, I'm nurturing, I'm a girl.
Oh my, that's probably why we got along.
You know what?
What?
Nothing wrong with being a girl. There's nothing wrong with having androgynous qualities.
Wow. Now you're going to turn people off because people are going to think that this is like, you know, one of those podcasts.
Hey, I'm talking the old definition. I'm talking about, you know, when you could say words and people didn't judge you for them. I'm not saying I'm not a feminine person.
You just have.
I
hear what you're saying.
I'm saying there's feminine traits of my personality. There's masculine traits of my personality. And also you have the same. That's what you just said. You have
absolutely
a lot of masculine traits. And you know what?
Mm-hmm.
That scares a lot of men.
Yeah, not you though.
No.
I'm very happy that it doesn't scare you. You know how I'm not knew scared. That you would be okay managing me? That's not the right word either.
I thought I already did.
Shut up.
I managed.
You manage, all right. This is really going off the rails today.
Hey, we've got a minute before our guest shows up. Okay. So.
What I'm saying is that you were not intimidated when I was a successful executive. And no. I was going to bring in more money to the relationship.
Sugar, sugar mama.
Wow.
No, that's fine.
For the love of God. Okay. Well, I want to tell you that Tara is incredible. Her services are always in dedication to the public. She's a public speaker as well. And in our talk, we speak about everything that she's doing is Grounded Energy 111 website. She's on Instagram. And more importantly, we really enjoy talking about the meditation practices. Mm-hmm. And one of the book recommendations, It Didn't Start With You by Mark Wollin, which I love.
Cool. So, are you ready for this?
I'm ready for it.
All right. So, you know what? I hope you guys enjoy this interview. And I thought it was quite impressive. I was actually putting this together today to put on our replay for the radio show on 360 Talk Radio for Women. And I'm like, Julie, we should put this on the podcast too.
Yeah. And people, if you want to know what the burnout signs are and how you can identify them, this episode is for you.
All right. So enjoy this interview with Julie and Tara Islip.
Hello, amazing friends. We have another great guest for us today. And thank you, Tara, for being here. I wanted to start off with a quick question for you. You rebuilt your career 3 times as you were trying to find yourself. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So my first love and career was dance. I mean, it was everything I wanted to be. I was the little girl who was like, I'm going to be a ballerina. And I went for it.
Love it. Love it.
Yeah. And once I got into the upper crust of that career, you know, it's very competitive. I was a small town kid that moved to Philadelphia. I was, and even Buffalo, like that was the closest city to me growing up. You know, when I decided to go to a bigger dance school in Buffalo, I remember my mom saying to me, you know, you're going to be a little fish in a big pond and you've been used to being the big fish in a little pond. And I said, I still want to do it. But Buffalo is still very kind of like small community. The art world is very small. The dance community is very small. We all kind of know each other and are connected. And then I jumped and went into Philadelphia. And that's an even bigger pool.
Yeah.
And really wanted my career to be in Europe. So I was just taking it to bigger and bigger levels. During that time, I didn't have a good sense of self. I don't think a lot of us do when we're that age, like late teens, early 20s. I mean, we're just kind of winging it, having a good time, figuring it out. But there are a lot of tendencies that kind of crept up that I really did not know how to not let in people's critiques and make it personal. You know, we are always told it's not personal, it's business. But when you don't have a good, like, solid support network of your own and like a good sense of self, it's hard not to let that stuff seep in. So I let it really eat away at me. I worked multiple jobs. I was constantly networking. I was burning the candle at both ends and finally just blew out my knee. Like my body said, if you're not going to stop, I'm going to make you stop.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was 21 when I blew out my knee, my first knee. And then I think I tore the second one like 6 months after surgery, but I like panicked, was like, no, I'm okay. It was something so basic. Like I went to get up, stepped wrong. I wasn't awake. And like, I felt this, heard this pop, just like my first knee. Ugh. And I woke right up, stood up, started to move my knee and was like, okay, it's fine. 12 years later, I ended up actually having a bucket handle tear that didn't go bad until 2 years ago.
Oh my gosh. What a tremendous story. And you know, how is your knee now? I mean,
they're both fine. Okay. Yeah, it was just the meniscus, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. But you know, it was in an audition, the first one popped right at the beginning and I did a 3-hour audition on a busted knee and then I was in denial, you know, any athlete that's listening to the show, whether it's arts or sports, you suffer an injury and it's very hard on you psychologically. Like you just, you kind of don't want to recognize it. And I didn't for a number of months.
Yeah. I think that, you know, it's such a common thing in, you know, between people who are high achievers, and sometimes we don't pay attention to the signs and we keep going, right? We keep going at the expense of our health, at the expense of something that could be a minimal sideline, but then becomes a bigger thing. Because, you know, we do that. And thank you for sharing that. I know that you left a corporate career after, you know, you were pursuing your passion for art, for dance, but you went into corporate America. Yeah. But you left a corporate career after you found your passion. What was your experience and how did you find your passion? What led you to kind of make that big decision too? Because it's a leap. To decide, you know, after I would imagine you're pursuing your dance career and then you decide, okay, well, I need to go to this 9-to-5 grind, and then you're growing up through the ladder, and then all of a sudden you're going to shift. What was that like? Because I think there's listeners that are maybe in that same spot.
Absolutely. Yeah. It took me a little time to kind of realize, like, what is it that I wanted to do in the interim? I mean, I'm one of these that I have to enjoy it. I have to have some sense of liking for it, or I just, that's that artistic temperament. I just keep jumping from one thing to the other. And of course, as I shifted into corporate, I became a paralegal. I went back to school for that. And, you know, they were teaching us that you do not want to jump from one job to the next. It's not seen as a good quality. Mm-hmm. It shows that you're not serious. So I was like, okay, I need to do something that, you know, I really do like, and I did. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it, but I wasn't passionate about it. My first job was with the U.S. Attorney's Office, and I really, just to get my feet wet, kind of get some, you know, with my book knowledge, real life knowledge, working knowledge, kind of figure out what I wanted to do. And I really thought I was going to go into medical malpractice as a paralegal. But the universe had a different story for me. Yeah. And I ended up in trust and estate law, which I ended up really loving. It's totally boring. It's nothing like litigation. And I ended up even specializing further in that on the back end of administering estates. So I was helping the family figure out how to move the estate around from out of the decedent's name and into wherever the documents directed, whether it was a will or a trust. So the long title was, I was a trust and estate administration paralegal. Again, very boring work, but I started with a very small family run firm who had been in business for 40 years, and they really didn't focus on the back end. But now that they were 40 years in, their clients were starting to die and they needed somebody to do the work. And I had to teach myself. I didn't, you know, take any estate law courses when I was in school, and I didn't know what I was doing. So I bought another book and I taught myself. And when I teach myself something, I just want to keep going with it. And I did that for a number of years, but I found myself like continuing to change jobs because the family firm was bringing more family in. So I was like, well, time to go. Ended up working for the local bank as a commercial lender in between because they specifically wanted a paralegal. Did well there, but ended up reaching a cap. It's banking. If anybody has been in banking, you know how much that's a pressure cooker environment too. And you're constantly like, if you're smaller, you're being bought out and lots of changes. And that's what was happening. And I landed in a regional law firm, doing the work that I loved, and I loved the clients. I liked being able to support them, be their sounding board when they needed it. And working with lawyers, everybody, you know, kind of rolls their eyes and says, oh, you can never get a hold of a lawyer. You never can get any answers until they're ready to give you answers. So whenever clients would reach out to me, I knew that it was just coming from a place of angst. And even if I didn't have an update for them, I was constantly like, I don't have an update, but you can always reach out to me. And, you know, if it helps. And they love that. That was the biggest review I got from them was like, we know you don't have any more information. We just feel like, you know, it helps to hear from you so that we know you're actually working on it. But it got depressing because we are essentially working with the dead.
Yeah, for sure. I love what you're saying, but I think that this is really building blocks to where you are today.
Yeah, it is. It was, because that's exactly what happened, is I wanted to help people in their lives, not so much after their death. It was great work, but I was working on my own health at the time too. Trying to figure out my nutrition, trying to figure out a lot of things, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, physically. And I wanted that for other people. I wanted them to find that sense of self, like what I was doing. And so, I don't recommend this, but I just got to a point where I was like, I'm done. I can't do this nine to five grind.
Yeah.
And I left. Like, I had no plan.
Yeah.
I got my certification. It was like, okay, I'm going to start a business.
There you go. There you go. I think that, you know, sometimes we have this analysis paralysis, right? Where we have to have a plan, things have to line up. And that was me for a long time. I'm like, well, I'm going to get my certification and then I'm going to see and kind of put my toes in the water and do all these things. Yet, honestly, I ended up, the universe had other plans. So I was like, you know, we've been telling you, you need to go in this direction, and kind of threw me out to the curb, and I had no choice but to move forward. But a lot of times that analysis paralysis keeps us from doing the thing that we're called to and doing the thing that is really burning in our heart. I think that that's the balance, right, of the mind and the heart. Right?
Yes.
Our heart is in a place and our mind is in another. I know that this is something that you're familiar with. Mm-hmm. How do we create that blend that we are still following our heart, but, you know, we're reassuring our mind is going to be okay?
Yeah. And this is a tricky one. I've worked on it for many years. I've talked about it for many years. It's the basis of everything that I do now currently. It's definitely a practice that you have to find within yourself. And it starts with doing something that somebody else has done. So just because it's not entirely unique to you when you start doesn't mean it's not going to be, but you got to start somewhere. And so why reinvent the wheel? Like, start with something that somebody else has done. So my thing is I was always trying to practice mindfulness and meditation, which is really tough for me because I can't sit still. I'm terrible at it. and I would
I know.
Be perfect about it. So meditation is where I started. And then it came down to like listening to guided meditations, short ones. Like there's, you do not, meditation is not about sitting perfectly in lotus with your thumb and forefinger pressed together and like a straight back. Like, it takes time to get to that place. So really honor where your body is physically at, in addition to where your mind is at. Like, if your mind is racing 100 miles an hour, sitting quietly is not going to work.
It's not
when you start.
Work. Yeah, 100%.
So finding the tools, like maybe listening to, maybe not even listening to anything. Maybe it's cooking. Like, if you really enjoy cooking, that's a meditative practice. If you need quiet and solace to start your day or to end your day, like even if you're a busy parent, like once everybody is in bed, forget the laundry, forget the dishes, forget the cleaning. Like, once everybody's asleep, go find your quiet space.
Yeah.
Even for 5 minutes, take some tea, grab a journal. And that was the other thing that I started doing. So it's like little things like that. 5 minutes, 30 seconds. Wherever you're at, start with it. And then the more you slow down or allow you, give yourself permission to slow down, your heart will start to speak to you.
I love that. You know, I think that we make it so complicated. I know that I did in so many times. And I used to say, I told myself the story, oh, meditation is not for me. I could never quiet my mind. But eventually I became a meditation teacher, mainly because I wanted to, you know, teach it and practice it. But really it's about finding what works for you. You know, one of my practices, and I've talked about it on the show before, is in the afternoon, I typically make a cup of tea. And that is a period in which I sit and I listen to the water and I'm very intentional. I'm paying attention to filling my little tea kettle, watching it boil. And then as I pour the water into my cup, watching it and then watching the water just change color with a tea bag. And and all of that is really bringing me in that moment. And that mindfulness practice is really about being here in the now. And yes, acknowledging that there are going to be, maybe I hear my dogs, and then acknowledging, okay, the dogs are there. Let me go back. And that's been one of the things that has helped me kind of reconnect in create some healing space in times that I could just be going 100 miles per minute. And that's what many people really end up struggling with. In your experience, you work with a lot of women. Tell me a little bit about what are the signs of burnout, because there might be listeners who maybe are saying, you know, meditation is not for me. But let's talk a little bit about burnout now and shift gears on that.
Yeah, there are many signs and many signs that we ignore, especially as women, because we are the glue in most cases that holds everything together in our lives and our family. Signs of burnout, fatigue, exhaustion, weight gain, easy weight gain for kind of no rhyme or reason, especially if you're very health conscious and watching what you eat, not being able to get it off if you're finding time to move, you're being active, physical aches and pains that seem to come up out of quote unquote nowhere. It's your body telling you that you've reached climax and maybe you've even redlined. Headaches, joint pain, weird anomalies. I've heard women say, I have these pains or these aches or these weird illnesses that have manifested. I go to the doctor, they can't find any answers. Those are a lot of physical.
Absolutely. And do you find that people that are in burnout already are having a difficult time pulling themselves out of burnout? And how do you help individuals who are in this burnout stage?
Yeah, I do find that they have a hard time slowing down because you're so used to chaos, so to speak, whatever that may look like for the individual. And it's getting them to tap into their body. When they're meeting with me, if they're like, I'm going 100 miles an hour, and it's like, okay, I start every session with a meditation just to bring them into their body, into the space, so that they try and calm down what's going on around them. I mean, it's still there, but kind of focusing them on them and me, or them. Them and me.
When I work with a lot of women as well, who are maybe in the brink or in the middle of burnout, a lot of the things that they do is that they really start to judge themselves and they really, you know, kind of spiral with those thoughts. And I wonder, in your life, how did you recognize and begin to appreciate parts of your personality, your character, that maybe, you saw as a negative, right? But how did you begin to embrace, and what are some of these characteristics that perhaps you saw, and thought, I don't like that, or, you know, we're afraid to show others, right? I'd love to hear a little bit more on that.
Yeah. It's been a journey.
Isn't it always a journey though, Tara? It always it is.
To summarize, I created a huge wall from childhood. I was afraid of people seeing me. And it kind of goes way back. But to summarize, it's kind of like how I was viewed was I was bossy and opinionated, but really I am a strong personality. I have a voice. I was trying to find how to articulate my emotions, my thoughts, my dreams. And because it wasn't well received growing up, I built a wall and I thought, all right, well, I guess I'm not really somebody that people want to get to know. So let me hide this because they won't like me. And that was kind of the biggest hurdle when I was a dancer, because you have to be you in your art, and all of its grittiness and ugliness and highlights and beauty. I actually started with a book called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay.
Louise Hay. I love that book.
Yes. I read it cover to cover. I had people telling me for years that I needed therapy, that I should consider therapy. And it scared me.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know anybody who had actually done it. And it was
Why did it scare you? Because you didn't know anybody? Was there anything else about therapy that maybe you had in your mind?
Yeah, there was this idea that if you needed therapy, something was wrong with you.
Mm.
And, you know, even though some people in my family were like, oh, this person needs therapy, there was still judgment around it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they have issues, they need therapy type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, but isn't it supposed to be helpful? So I didn't really understand.
Well, we all have issues and we all need therapy.
right. Yes. So I was scared to do it and I wanted to do some inner work on myself. This is when I changed careers. So I knew becoming a paralegal, I was like, I need to do the inner work. There's something that I need to correct. I don't want to continue being this little rainy black cloud that is around everybody. Like I alienated people around me because I was so miserable with myself. I was living two different versions. I couldn't do it anymore. So I started with her book and then I moved into therapy. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time I started to find my voice and articulate how I was feeling without being judged.
Yeah.
And it was such a huge sense of relief. And it, from there, it was learning to love myself, love the qualities of my personality, honor them. Also know when I'm getting a little red line on my own and being like, okay, what's really going on, and sitting myself down. And, you know, my husband sometimes puts me in check. He's very laid back.
I think that's what a good thing that husbands can do for us, right?
Yeah. And sometimes he'll just be like, you need a timeout. And I'm like, I need a timeout. Okay.
Okay. I get it. I've been there.
That's really like, yeah, it took a while.
Yeah. I know that for me, and again, I want to encourage the listeners, you know, we need to start to normalize that. Just like we go to the doctor for a checkup, it is okay to go to a therapist for a mental health and to really acknowledge that nobody teaches us these coping mechanisms. Nobody teaches us all of these things that can help us. And by the way, there is a role between therapists and coaches, and, you know, there is an intersection between the two. But ultimately, you know, you need to make sure that if you need to deal with some of the past, if you need to deal with some of these emotions that are coming up, a therapist can really help you kind of come up with some of that. And then if you want to move forward, look at things in the future, then actionable steps. And that's, you know, maybe when a coach is coming in. And I'm sure if you want to message Tara or myself, we can kind of dissect, you know, the differences, because it's very important. But you've also availed yourself of other modalities to help you in the healing process, not only of your body, but of your mind. Because a lot of things that happen to many of us is we have a lot of this past trauma, which I want to normalize. We all have that, becomes really trapped in our body and becomes that stress that can add to or be the cause of our burnout. So what are other practitioners that you have worked with, Tara?
Yeah, so Reiki was a big one. That was one I didn't have any experience the first time I did it. I just kind of laid there for an hour and was like, that's great. That was a nice little break. Thank you. You know, but it kept presenting itself in my life. And I was like, maybe I should take this opportunity. And the more I started to do it, the more I started to open up and release further, in my own understanding of myself and my gifts and like stuff that I kind of buried from my past. And, I became a Reiki One, practitioner to help people kind of start to explore that. That was one. I've recently done hypnosis, and that was just kind of like helping me work through a current experience of like finding deeper answers and making space. I was pregnant and like so much was going on. You know, and what else have I done? Reiki, shadow work. That is the biggest thing. And quite honestly, that is the absolute foundation of my work. And people get so scared of that term because I think it's been used a lot and there's a lot of confusion around it. It's really, to very oversimplify it, it is the new age self-awareness. It's really going back to the root of what is creating this dis-ease or stress burnout in our lives. And sometimes because it is so deep, like you definitely need a therapist to help you work through it. And yeah. I love that you bring up the bridge and the intersection that is between therapy and coaching. Like we work in tandem.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
To support clients.
Yeah. I think that, you know, there's got to be a lot of reform that we bring up when it comes to our mental health, our healthcare. I think that there's a lot of practitioners as well that, you know, the barrier of entry for people availing themselves of modalities is the income, right? But mm-hmm. there's so many different things that can help you heal and help you get to a new level. But, you know, again, people are not mainstream. It's not open to necessarily right. supporting them. And we could be here all day to talk about that. I love this journey. I'm so appreciative that you are open and willing to share. I think that in the more that we normalize what we've been through, it allows others to really be able to see themselves and in ourselves in the mirror. We're those believing mirrors for others. You have a mission to help women balance their masculine plus feminine energy, regardless of gender, to reduce that burnout and increase mm-hmm. their productivity and find true work-life balance. And in turn, you help them foster community, heart-centered corporate cultures within their jobs and in their businesses. So in reading all of that, there's two things that really stick out to me. Mm-hmm. Balance your masculine plus feminine energy. And again, reduce productivity, which is one of my favorite things. That I love productivity. But for someone who's reading that for the first time, and maybe they're not necessarily in the self-help industry, they're mm-hmm. kind of new, dipping their toes in the water. What is balancing their masculine plus feminine energy?
Yeah, this is a great question. This is another one that's coming up a lot in the new age kind of health and wellness mm-hmm. community. It's recognizing, so for women in a lot of cases, like I pull from my masculine energy, which is very action oriented, very strong, like go, 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 go energy.
Right.
Feminine energy just means that it's a softer approach. It's not so, it's more reflective, more contemplative, like not aggressive in the sense of like everything's actionable. Everything's got to be a sale. Everything's got to be, you know, there has to be an outcome. And women, when we're in environments where it's very, like very high corporate, action oriented, you may find that even though your place of balance, maybe pulling from more of your masculine and less of your feminine, but sometimes you're pulling too much from it. And that's increasing your burnout because you're not taking the time to step back and contemplate and just letting things flow. Mm-hmm. And kind of work themselves out. Like that was a big one for me to figure out.
Absolutely.
And it still is. I'm still constantly like, okay, I need to find a solution. What's an action item that I can do? Let's be more productive about this. And when I start getting too over the top with that, and it starts to feel like I'm doing way too much for little results and nothing is working out. Like that's the other thing too. If like you're doing a lot of action, and getting like no result, that means you need to take a step back. You need to tap into that more feminine flow of energy.
Absolutely. You know, when you're talking about this and I look back at my corporate career, one of the things that I leverage, and there's so many different tools, right? For me was the DISC personality assessment. In the DISC personality assessment, I'm a high D, which is a dominant personality. I don't have a lot of the supportive kind of like the laid back, you know, need all the details type of person. But similarly to what you're speaking about, I knew that in order to be in balance or in flow or better harmony for myself, I cannot be in that dominant personality all the time. And I need to kind of, okay, let's take a breath. Let's be reflective. And really, this is so important. You know, the different modalities that you choose are the ones that are ultimately help support you. And I want you to, you know, find out, talk to people like Tara, talk to me, and talk to your friends, because the more that we have these conversations, the more that we can normalize that we're not the only one who's going through this.
Right.
Absolutely. Tara, you have a book coming out.
Yes.
I'm excited. Let's talk about this. Tell me more about the book. What is the title of the book? When does it come out? And again, you know, it's coming out soon. So this may come out after the book, but I want listeners to go and get it. So tell us more.
Yeah, absolutely. So I love writing, and to kind of dip my toes into writing, I got into doing multi-author books. They're a great way. I know it's a new thing that's coming out. There's lots of people that have publishing houses you can do this with, but the book is called Broken. This is the second one I've done. And the subtitle is Women Breaking Ancestral Chains and Generational Cycles to Create a Brighter Future for Themselves and Their Families.
Mm-hmm. What are ancestral chains?
So your ancestral lines, like within your family. So for some of your listeners who maybe have been going down this road of healing and self-awareness and recognizing patterns, you start to recognize family patterns that maybe go back multiple generations. And you might be somebody who's thinking like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like I don't agree with this teaching, or, you know, it could be around anything like family values, like whether it's finances, work-life balance, career, education, whatever it may be. And you're going, I didn't enjoy this process for myself. I want to do it different for my family. Like if I want kids, or if you are helping to raise nieces and nephews or whatever it may be, you want to do it different. And breaking those chains and those generational cycles, it's tricky. Yeah. It's a tricky one.
I know. Have you read the book, It Didn't Start With You?
No, I didn't.
Oh my goodness. Go read it.
Okay.
Don't wait. I listened to a podcast. My friend Benye, friend of the show, he's been here a couple of times. Her name is Dr. Yvonne. I can't remember her last name. And this is the first time I was going through a personal, discovery on trauma, starting to uncover this for myself. And she all of a sudden started to talk about generational trauma, ancestral chains. And I was like, what is this? And she talked about the book. And I'm like, oh, let me go check out this book. And when I read the book, I'm telling you, my mind was blown, because there is so much scientific research, right? If you're not into the woo, but you have a science mind, I will tell you that there's a lot of research and scientific proof that a lot of the stuff that we're dealing with is not something that we necessarily, it's us, it's our own burdens. Some of these burdens are encoded into our DNA. So yes. For instance, when your grandmother was pregnant with your mother, you in essence were in your mother's womb, and everything that your grandmother was experiencing was passed on to your mom and in essence to you. So if your grandmother was going through a difficult relationship, abuse, or, you know, whatever difficulties and challenges, you may have an aversion to certain things that you don't know where they come from and you don't have an explanation, but it's really because of the things that have been experienced by this people that came before you. There is a Netflix, and I know I've talked about it before. There's a Netflix show, and you know, I'm very, I don't know, I don't even know what to call it. My taste in Netflix is not your run of the mill. I do a lot of international different shows. This show in particular is based on the book. And I highly recommend it because it's sort of like a fun comedy drama.
Yeah.
But it is based on the premise of the book. So I hold on. Let me see if I can find it for all of us, because anyway, I will put it in the show notes. And again, you can always send me a message and say, hey, what's the name of the Netflix thing? But it is based on the book, and it's based on the fact that it follows three friends with three different lifestyles, and they're dealing with different issues in their life. One of them, the one that it starts with, one of them has cancer. And so her body is reacting to some of the trauma that has been trapped in her body. It's another self. That's what it's called. Another self.
Another self.
So highly recommend it. Really fun. It's a nice little dramedy for all of us. But now we got sidetracked. You're going to go get, you're going to go get the book, which is, I didn't start with you, but go back to your book.
Yeah.
What is the message that you have for other people in your book?
So the message I have is that healing is ongoing. Mm-hmm. That beautiful. No matter where you start, it never ends. It keeps evolving. And if you have kids or you have nieces and nephews that look up to you, or you have grandchildren or whatever it may be, they're watching you. And that's true. They're going to learn more from watching you than listening to you. Mm-hmm. And I try to do the same for my own boys. And it's I'm still learning. My oldest definitely has my personality. It's me and a boy, my personality and a boy. So I'm like, oh my goodness, this is going to be interesting.
Fine. Okay. I love that. You know, I think that we do see ourselves and the people that come after us. I don't have children, but I have nieces and nephews. And really my goal is that through my own personal journey, that they can get some of the lessons and hopefully not struggle through and hopefully normalize for them as well, that there's nothing wrong with them, that life is just about a journey, about evolving, about shifting and really growing into the person that we're meant to be. How do you help individuals, Tara, and how do people can leverage your support?
Yeah, so I've been reflecting a lot this year, and especially with the economy and how everybody is really focused on their pocketbooks and their wallets. So all of my services are under $400, which I like to share that because I know that this big thing, like you hear somebody, you're like, great, I want to work with you. And then you're afraid to go look at their website because you're afraid to see their prices.
Yes, that happens a lot.
But I have a number of different services at various levels. I have we talked about the heart-mind connection. I did a meditation workshop that is on demand. You download it. You can listen to it as often as you want. It allows you that space to like get to know yourself, kind of figure out where you want to go. And then there's various levels of coaching from minimally hands-on to very hands-on. And you can find me on my website at groundedenergy111.com. Instagram is a great place to connect with me. My handle is at grounded_energy111. Mm-hmm. And you can also find me on LinkedIn.
Ooh, so good. So good. And by the way, I love some of your posts on Instagram. I went and I checked out. I just realized I went and I checked out your Instagram before, but I never followed you. So I'm sorry for that. I'm following you now. Yeah, you have some really great content. And I think that this is going to be really great for people to connect with you and get some of your insights as well. You're doing some reels in there. So great, great content. Thank you so much. And you have different events. You are available as a speaker as well. If someone, maybe this resonated with them and they want to bring you into their company, I think that this will be a really great space for you for them to connect with you as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I am moving more into the public speaking role, which is
fun. I love it. Well, it has been an incredible pleasure. Thank you so much for your generosity of time and for being here and for connecting with me and for continuing to be a part of my universe so that we can continue to collaborate and support each other in this journey. You're doing some incredible work, Tara. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Julie. I appreciate it so much.
Well, great, everybody. Don't forget to follow her, give her some social currency. Tell her you found her through Confident You Radio and the Casa de Confidence podcast. I am thrilled to have her in my universe as one of my business besties, that we can come alongside and support each other in this journey. She's doing some great work, everyone. Don't forget, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.
Thanks for listening to Casa de Confidence. We thank you for listening. And if you want more, go to CasaDeConfidencePod.com. Check Julie out on her socials as Julie DeLuca Collins. And you can also check out her website at GoConfidentlyCoaching.com. Have a great week. And don't forget, go confidently in the direction of your dreams.